Hi, everybody. Terry Brown at Bass Fan Radio. And with me today is Troy Jens. And you know, Troy, I think one of the things that sometimes we lose track of in the bass fishing business is the conservation and water management issues that sometimes collide. And recently, and within the last several years anyway, you've been actively involved in all kinds of water management, keeping track of the conservation issues on your local areas of water. But recently, the gill netting issue, which is kind of a national issue, really hit home for you at Lake Guntersville.
Yes, it did. It's something we've been concerned with for a number of years. With the increase in recreational traffic, the gill nets seem to be more and more in the way of the conservation end of things with the more and more fishermen that we get on the waters.
Well, you know, you look at this thing, and for folks that don't know what a gill net is, kind of explain it to us and how it's being used at Guntersville.
Well, gill nets are run a lot of times, mostly in the springtime, and typically they're used to catch commercial catfish or catfish for commercial reasons. They can run nets for hundreds of yards, stringing them across flats and creek channels and travel routes that the fish use. And what it is it's a suspended mesh that can be as 4 feet wide and run for hundreds of yards, 4 feet deep. And if fish get caught in it, you know, their gills or get caught in it or hung in the net, and they're unable to escape. And bass get caught in them a lot. And that's what they use to harvest the fish with.
Yeah, and most of the commercial fishermen that do it right, they're marked. You're able to see them. You're able to know where they're at. The other thing is that they're supposed to manage them so they get out there on the water and make sure that if bass gets stuck in them, you can get them out, and then they take the fish that they're really shooting for, right?
Well, yeah, in part that's right. But actually, we don't have any legislation that mandates these nets be properly marked or at least well marked, at least what we would consider to be marked well. It could be just a small Coke bottle at the end of a 400-yard run. Some of them are not marked from the surface at all, so you really don't know where they're at. Only the gill netters know where they're at. So they're really not well marked. And that really does present a pretty major navigational hazard out here.
Well, you know, I used to live in Florida on the St. John's River, and they were used there for a while. And I know, you know, you'd be running along, and all of a sudden your motor would stop, basically, and you'd have a gill net wrapped around it. And I tell you what, they're not easy to get off either, are they?
No, they're not. They do cause a lot of damage. In fact, they've caused thousands of dollars worth of damage, you know, to boat motor seals, lower unit seals, trolling motor props, trolling motor seals, and such things. And we really have no way to recover those costs when we're caught in those nets.
Well, you know, I think maybe something that may be misleading is, you know, the fact that people think there's a right and a wrong or a black and a white in this issue. And in reality, you're trying, and one of the things that I'm really happy about, you know, knowing you and knowing how you approach this, is you're really looking for a compromise, aren't you?
Well, I really am. We have some family netters here, family commercial anglers, and they've been doing this for generations. And we certainly don't want to see them just left out in the cold. We would like to see the nets phased out and banned eventually in favor of more selective methods of commercial, you know, rough fish harvest. I think we're smart enough eventually to be able to find better ways to harvest rough fish without killing a bunch of game fish in the process. And I really think that's the direction we need to be looking. But I think there's some things that the gill netters and the commercial fishermen and the bass anglers can come together on that will help reduce the number of nets, get a much better marking system for the nets that they're currently using, and provide better methods of release for the game fish to get caught in the nets. And that is our ultimate goal at this point in time.
Well, you know, the structure is such is that with the Alabama DNR, they're involved, they know what's going on and some of those kind of things. But yesterday, you had a meeting with them, and kind of give us the information, if you could, how that transpired and what you got out of it.
Well, the meeting was really productive. Myself and another local guide and a bait shop owner here went to Montgomery and met with Commissioner Barnett Lawley, who was the State Commissioner of Game and Fish. We also met there with Corky Pugh, who's the Director of Conservation, and two state senators. What we did is discuss new legislation that would kind of bring together some of the compromising issues that we have with the commercial fishermen and the bass anglers here. And it was a very productive discussion. I think some things will be done.
Well, you know, you look back at it and you know, the tempers flare and people get upset if you get something caught in your prop. But by the same token, the commercial gill netter who thinks he's doing the right thing, and as you mentioned, maybe family business, you know, his nets are tore up at the same time. So that compromise is really kind of probably a tedious operation to try to get put together.
It really is. And we've had some very heated exchanges out here on the water, you know, between netters and commercial fishermen and bass anglers. And we'd really like to lessen that probability And I think working together with some of these compromises, we can reduce the probability of any heated confrontations out here on the water.
Well, you know, you are a guide, but one of the things I think is important to note here is you've really dedicated a lot of your life to issues on the water, you know, whether it be hydrilla eradication, you know, vegetation eradication, that kind of thing. And now this gill netting issues, and you're really trying to maybe put your money where your mouth is a little bit.
Well, that's true, and I think that's what I have to do. And those of us who guide and use the waters, you know, to make our living, we have to take a stand for what we believe in, and that's for the future of the resource. And that's not just so much for tournament anglers or clients, but it's for the weekend guy who wants to come out here and fish, or mom and dad who want to bring their kid out here fishing. And that's what it's all about, is protecting the fisheries and making things better for the generation beyond our time.
Well, I have to tell you, you know, I've been to Guntersville several times, and I've seen it go way, way high like it is today, but I've also seen it when it wasn't so good, you know, when the grass was all gone, you know, we had all the issues with, you know, there really didn't seem like there was that many fish in it. It's always been a great fishery, but now it's a stupendous fishery.
It is a great fishery, especially in terms of tournament weights. I think we have a long way to go with regard to numbers, and I think some of our concern, of course, has been watching a number of large bass being thinned out by things like gill nets and issues like that we're working on to try to make sure that we have a good population of fish that covers all of the bases.
Well, you know, you talk about that gene pool. I think that's what you're getting at, is when you lose a very, very large fish, there's a reason that fish is large. That gene pool, when you eliminate that fish, is gone for future.
That's right. And the gill nets really target fish 4 pounds and up. There's been, a lot of times in a gill net, such as what we saw on TV the other day, you know, you can find 10 to 20 bass over 4 pounds in a net in one stretch, you know, over one hump. And when you remove, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 pound bass during the spawn cycle, you know, from those select grounds, I really think it makes a detrimental impact to the population. And it kind of high grades the gene pool. You're taking out the biggest fish in the lake, or at least putting the biggest fish in the lake at risk. And I really do think that's a problem.
Well, you know, Troy, I look at this thing, and you know, it's not just in Alabama. You know, there's other states that have similar things where you can gill net, but there are some other ways that people can catch rough fish. Maybe kind of go into those very quickly if you could.
Well, I think trout lining, of course. I know that the commercial fishermen trout line as much as they can. And really, there haven't been many other ways studied or developed of harvesting those catfish and target fish other than they have created a lot of more of the catfish ponds, you know, which raise catfish specifically for, you know, commercial harvest. And that has taken a lot of pressure from netting off of the rivers and the lakes. Since now a lot of the catfish demand is coming from ponds designed specifically for that purpose. So that's kind of the direction we'd like to see things go. You know, commercial fishing, more of those commercial fish coming from the ponds. And trying to really study and develop some different ways of getting the rough fish out of the lakes without killing the game fish.
Well, Troy, you know, as always, we always talk, and you and I try to stay together once in a while. But I tell you, the thing that's nice about this is you're really out there, you're really working hard at this. And, you know, when you think about it, folks, you know, he just did a great article on BassFan.com as well in the column section for the Army members. And when you look at this thing, you know, it's about everybody getting involved, not just Troy Jens or Terry Brown, but it's about everybody getting involved. And, Troy, I applaud you for what you're doing.
Well, I sure appreciate it, Terry. And you're absolutely right. It's about anglers getting involved, taking action, being involved with their legislators. That's what it's all about, is people being involved and not just talking about it, but really, you know, really digging in and getting involved to make a difference.
Well, one of the finest gentlemen I know out there in the bass fishing world and a great angler to boot. Troy Jens, thanks for being with us here at Bass Fan Radio.
Well, I sure appreciate it, Terry.
I'm Terry Brown, and this has been Bass Fan Radio.